In today's halacha, we're going to review the laws that are applicable to the Chanukah candle lighting on Erev Shabbos. The menorah lighting of Erev Shabbos contains a number of details involved within it, such as what time should one light the candles, should one light the Chanukah candles before Mincha, after Mincha, what if he can't find a minyan for Mincha, should one light the Chanukah candles before the Shabbos candle lighting, after the Shabbos candle lighting, can the wife light the Shabbos candles before the husband lights the Chanukah candles, can one move the Chanukah candles on Shabbos, what is one to do if leaving the Chanukah candles by the doorway will get in the way of the passerbyers and could be a sakana, a danger for children. So these are the topics that are required to be covered in today's class in order to have a clear directive regarding the Erev Shabbos Chanukah lighting. Regarding the order of when the Chanukah lights are to be kindled, so one is to light the Chanukah candles prior to the Shabbos candles, as brought in the Mechaber in chapter 679. And the reason for this is because once one has lit the Shabbos candles, he has accepted Shabbos. Certainly this is the case by a woman, and according to many opinions, it's also the case by a man, even though we don't hold this way l'halacha. And nevertheless, since the lighting of Shabbos candles represents the acceptance of Shabbos, therefore one cannot afterwards light another type of candle, such as the Chanukah candles. So we first light the Chanukah candles, and then we go on and we light the Shabbos candles. So it ends up that although we're going to be lighting the Chanukah candles while it is still daytime, nevertheless, we will say a bracha, as from the letter of the law, Chanukah candles are allowed to be lit with a blessing starting from Plag HaMincha, which is approximately 1 1/4 zmanius hours prior to sunset. So every person can look in the calendar in their area to figure out when they are allowed to begin lighting the Chanukah candles. It is forbidden to light the Chanukah candles prior to Plag HaMincha, and one who does so does not fulfill the obligation as is to extinguish them and relight them with a bracha. Regarding Mincha, when is Mincha to be davened? So Mincha is to be prayed prior to the lighting of the candles, as stated in Sefer HaMinhagim, in Ayin Yayim, and brought down in the Mishnah Berurah. The reason for this is because the allowance to light the Chanukah candles prior to sunset follows the opinion that starting from Plag HaMincha, it's nighttime. So how can we light Chanukah candles, profess that it's nighttime, and then go daven a Mincha day prayer? So therefore, preferably one is to daven Mincha beforehand. In a time of need, however, one may light the candles prior to Mincha, and then daven Mincha afterwards, as brought in the Sharat Seed. Certainly, if one is not able to daven Mincha with a minyan, and davening Mincha before candle lighting will cause him to daven b'yichidus without a minyan, while if he lights first and then goes to daven, he will daven with a minyan, then it is better to light the candles before Mincha and then go daven Mincha with a minyan. So is brought in the Kitzur Shlah of the laws of Chanukah and the Elyon Abba. To mention that there were times that the Rebbe also did this order where he lit Chanukah candles, Shabbos candles, and only afterwards did he daven Mincha. Regarding if the wife can light the Shabbos candles prior to the husband lighting the Chanukah candles, so initially this is not proper to be done, even though it's two different people doing the actions. So is brought in Binyan Shloimai, Tshuva 53. However, in a time of need where it's a pressing time before Shabbos, then one can arrange it in this way, that the wife will light the Shabbos candles and the husband will then light the Chanukah candles. A good compromise is for the husband to light at least one candle, say the brachas, light one candle, then have the wife light the Shabbos candles while he's lighting the remaining candles. So it's recorded in the Ben Ish Chai, Parshas Vayeshev. In the event that one already lit Shabbos candles and then remembered that they made a mistake and should have lit Chanukah candles first, then if it was a woman that did so and she's the person in the only person in the home that is lighting Chanukah candles, then she may not light Chanukah candles because she has already accepted Shabbos, and she must ask another Jew who has not yet lit candles and accepted Shabbos to light the candles for her, in which event they will say the blessings in her presence. She will answer Amen and fulfill her obligation. In the event that a man lit Shabbos candles and he had to first light Chanukah candles, then in such a case, he can still light Chanukah candles for at least another 9 minutes, in which case he should immediately accept Shabbos once the Chanukah candles are lit. How much oil must the candles contain? So being that the halacha is, as stated in 672.1, that the candles must remain lit at least until a half hour passes after nightfall, so on Erev Shabbos when we're lighting way before Shkia, which is before candle lighting, therefore we are required to place a nice amount of oil, or when using wax candles, we have to have extra long wax candles to verify that the candles will remain lit for at least a half hour after Tzeis HaKichavim. Practically, this can mean that candles need to be lit for a minimum of 70 minutes, as a half hour of Tzeis HaKichavim plus 20 minutes after Shkia plus the amount of time before candle lighting, it ends up being about 70 minutes, and sometimes more depending on the country. It's a mitzvah to publicize this, especially to those that use wax candles for Hanukkah candles, in which the typical size wax candles do not last that long and are invalid for the mitzvah of Erev Shabbos. In the event that the candles extinguished, so if they extinguish before Shabbos, although in general the ruling is, as brought in Paiskim in 673.2, that when a candle extinguishes, he has nevertheless fulfilled the mitzvah as hadlaka oisa mitzvah, and it is the initial lighting that performs the mitzvah. Nevertheless, as rules the Taz there with regards to Erev Shabbos, if the candles extinguish before Shabbos began, before an accepted Shabbos, he is to rekindle them before Shabbos. If they extinguish on Shabbos, obviously there's nothing to do, and he has fulfilled the mitzvah, l'mehadrin. Where to set up the Hanukkah candles? So obviously, the law of where to set them up is similar to that of any day in which we try to set them up by the doorway opposite the mezuzah. However, many fear doing so on Erev Shabbos due to that there are kids running around, and since they can't be moved, we fear that something can happen. So in such a case that one truly fears that it is dangerous, then they can simply light it on a table or light it by a visible window where everyone crowds around, and that will obviously fulfill the mitzvah Bersumei Nisan, one may do so even initially. Nevertheless, it is suggested that one can set it up by the doorway in a way that will allow him to move it on Shabbos. And we will now discuss how can one set up the menorah by the doorway and nevertheless be able to move it on Shabbos. So the following is the method. The menorah itself is muktzah. It's muktzah because it's a basis to the candles which are muktzah and can never be moved on Shabbos. One can never pick up the actual menorah and move it. However, if one places the menorah on top of another support, such as he places it on a stool or on a chair, and moves the chair with the menorah, then in certain circumstances, this is allowed and not prohibited due to muktzah. In what circumstances is it allowed? In a circumstance that the chair does not become a bus, it does not become muktzah. What does this practically mean? This means that before Shabbos, we set up the menorah on top of a chair by the doorway, and we take a non-muktzah item of importance touch, such as a sitter or a tehillim, and we place it on the chair together with the menorah, and that affects that the chair is now not considered a basis. Nevertheless, this doesn't totally allow it to be moved. There are two restrictions that are still involved. Number one, it's only permitted to move this chair with the menorah on it in a case that you need the space, meaning you need the space of the doorway. In any event, in most cases, this will be the situation because you need more space in the doorway to walk in and out. So this will be allowed in such a case to move the chair with the tehillim on it and the menorah on it from the doorway. This is definitely allowed after the candles have extinguished. The question is, can one move the chair with the menorah even while the candles are still lit? Believe it or not, it's actually brought in Paiskim in a few times in the Alter Rebbe, in 277.3 and in 277.5, recorded in Ktzais HaShulchan 112.14. In El Yeraba 277.14, that it is permitted to move a tray that has a non-basis tray, a non-muksa tray that has a menorah on it, even while the menorah is lit, if and provided that one does so gently, so it won't cause any of the oil to swerve. The whole issur of moving a non-muksa support that has a menorah on it while it's lit is only because it will inevitably cause the oil to swerve and hence cause extinguishing or inflaming of the wick. However, if one moves so slowly and it's no longer an inevitable occurrence, then it is permitted to be done, and so records the Ktzais HaShulchan as practical halacha, and therefore anyone who is worried to not light by the doorway because they fear not being able to move it. This is their ability to be able to do so by following the above guidelines, placing a sitter, tehillim, on the chair, and then after a half hour passes after nightfall, as before then, the menorah may not be moved, just like during the week. So once a half hour passes after Tzeisa Kechavim, one can then lift up the menorah slowly, gently, and carefully lift up the chair with the menorah, not the menorah itself, and move it to where he desires, so it won't be a hazard to the family. To note that it is only valid to place the sitter tehillim on the chair prior to the beginning of Shabbos. If one did not remember to do so and places it on the chair on Shabbos itself, it does not help save the chair from retaining its muktzah status as a busis. So one must place the tehillim or sitter on the chair before Shkiyah.